Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and welcome to Hug Nation. Today I want to talk about people-pleasing, authenticities. Wait, I had a cool way of saying it, and then I can't remember it now. People-pleasing, authenticity's sneaky saboteur. See, that was worth it, wasn't it? Authenticity's sneaky saboteur. I had to do a spell check on two of those three words. So here's the thing. I am a recovering people pleaser. Not recovered, recovering. Like many, I try to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I like positive interactions. I dislike conflict. I like to show up in ways that makes everyone around me happy. And that is, you would think, a really good quality. And it, you know, in the short term, in the immediate experience, it is. It's very pleasant to be around someone who is hyper concerned with making you and everyone around them happy. And on the other side of their eyes, deathly afraid of even a whimper or a subtle hint of disappointment. So, but there is a balance required in this. There is a very dangerous thing that can happen when we get too caught up in the desire to be liked and to please people. It is because it is inauthentic living. It is a deceit. It is a lie. Because you are not giving people the opportunity to voice their truth, because you're not voicing yours. Let's say a friend says, hey, let's go to sushi. And I don't really want to go to sushi, but I also don't know exactly where I want to go, but it doesn't sound that good. But I don't want to start a conversation. I don't want to be the difficult one. And so I say, sure. Now, what they hear is, hey, Halcyon wants to go to sushi. Sweet. Now we're like, it's win-win. We're gifting each other this sushi experience. Where on my end, I'm like, I feel like I'm compromising. I'm enduring this. And I'm doing it by choice. And there's some kind of sick pleasure almost in like knowing that I'm being a martyr for the good of all. But that's, I'll say it, bullshit. Because you are not allowing the truth to happen. You are not trusting another person to be able to communicate their needs. And I am so guilty of this, of not proposing an idea, not asking for help, not asking or requesting things, because I don't want to create this awkward situation where they might not want to do the thing that I said. So I swallow what I want to do or what I need help with, because the awkwardness of that confrontation is potentially worse than whatever pain I feel personally. I'm going to talk about that a little bit deeper, because this is something that I keep hearing more and more in people that I'm working with on the Pink Path. It is a massive obstacle in the path towards authentic living. There's one type of authentic living, which is like, you know, I desire to be a ballerina, but I'm afraid, you know, to spread my wings. And that's like, okay, that's black and white. That's obvious. But there's this much more subtle and much more insidious part, which is, I kind of want to do this, but I don't want to do it so badly that I'm willing to kind of disrupt the flow around me or say something to somebody that they, you know, make their day a little bit more challenging. And so I don't even bring it up, even though the possible response could be, you want to do that? Great. We would love to make your day better. Thank you for the opportunity of making your day better, making your life better, making this moment better. But because I'm afraid of the possibility that they're like, oh, we need to make two stops on the way? Fine. So I just don't even bring up the fact that all I have is marshmallows and graham crackers, and I have no chocolate. So I just think, you know what? Once we get there, I'll take a lift to a store and I'll get some chocolate and we'll have s'mores and everyone's gonna be happy. And I take on the additional challenge, discomfort, because to me, personally taking on any sort of difficulty is a lower bar than putting any difficulty on the other person. And what that is doing is not trusting people to communicate, not trusting people with the truth. It's trying to manipulate other people's behavior and the world by controlling the information that you give, even though my truth is I don't have chocolate, or my truth is I don't want to have sushi. And I could then allow them to respond. Maybe it would be like, oh, we have a place to go. Or maybe it could be like, sweet, I forgot charcoal. So in this way, it can get easier to get deeper and deeper into a pattern of pleasing people and being a martyr and taking on challenges to cause comfort in your world without realizing how damaging it is. Because one, people are now interacting with a falsehood, a mask, an inauthentic version of who I am and the truth. And two, every time I don't listen and don't speak that truth, the volume gets a little lower and the default is compromised. The default is quiet it down and play the role that I think I'm supposed to play. Let's say I had this desire, like, you know what? I just watched the movie Ghost and I want to learn pottery, man. That's so awesome. But I go, I know that if I bring that up to my partner, she thinks pottery is stupid. She thinks it's a waste of time. She thinks that there's so many projects that I'm not doing and that she thinks it's a woo-woo hippie thing and she's always making fun of my ceramic mugs. And so I'll, rather than say, I want to do this pottery class and have her laugh and then us work through that, I just never bring it up. And I don't do the pottery class. The short term is I've created harmony. And the long term is I've created a life of deceit. Maybe pottery isn't my big dream, but it is a dream. It is part of that desire. And as I express it and as I seek that, it does strengthen that muscle. It does increase the connection to that heart truth. And by not speaking it to my partner, they are now making all sorts of decisions based on who I am and what we should do in our lives based on a lie of someone who I am not. So my connection to my truth diminishes and my relationship to the other is weakened because it is not a relationship of truth. I've actually learned a lot from the polyamory community about some of these things, about communicating, about consent. I initially, and I still am struggling to really get my head around consent culture, but one of the things that's beautiful about it is that it's about not holding back with the requests and being very honest with the responses. You learn to respect a no because it gives power to the yes. The other side of people-pleasing is saying yes to things that you don't want to do, in addition to not voicing the things that you do want to do. And in both those situations, it's the desire for harmony, but it is robbing the other person of freedom. It is robbing them the freedom to interact with your truth. And this instinct of avoiding any awkwardness or conflict is the recipe for a watered-down life that is totally inauthentic. And as I've been working with people in the pink path and viewing it in myself, this is something that I've noticed more and more is there's this big picture authenticity. There's the pink hair, dance on a mountaintop, sunset, projecting of your truth. Yeah, that's authentic living. And then there's also the authentic living of having the courage to say, actually, this is something that matters to me. It may not be the most important thing in the world, but I'm not feeling sushi right now. Or I need some help. I need someone to pick up chocolate on the way to the cookout. One of the things that I learned from a polyamory lecturer, you need to get really comfortable telling people things they don't want to hear. Now, the truth is, often there's more of the worry that this thing is something that they, my partner doesn't want to hear. But that idea of trusting another person with the truth, you have a short-term awkwardness and a long-term trust. Because if I trust that you will tell me the truth and you will let me have my response, then we both start to have to, we're allowed to bypass that game of trying to figure out what the other person wants, And that's the people-pleasing nightmare of trying to do the thing that will make the other person happy without ever stretching deep enough to make any awkwardness happen. So there's all this brain power and all these cycles of figuring out and thinking and worry to avoid any conflict and get to the place that everything's copacetic. When really, if you could have a trusting, honest dialogue, if you could ask for something and trust that that they will say no with no hard feelings, you can go so far. This is like a crazy, in some places, in some situations, it is quite revolutionary. And like I saw a post online about these entitled millennials, and it was a couple that just had a baby. And so they posted on Nextdoor, the neighborhood website, that, hey, any neighbors that want to step up and help us out, we would love help with meals. Here are some meals that we would love help with. And they like put out recipes with like gourmet ingredients and handmade granola. And it was pretty, it was a big ask, especially to neighbors that they didn't know. And so there, a Twitter feed of responses and teasing these people and making fun of them for being so entitled and how shameful it was. And it was easy for me to go, yeah, oh my gosh, how dare they ask for all those things? And then as I read more comments of people like, so don't do it if you don't want to. I was like, oh, right. There were some people that I'm sure would be like, oh, I barely know these neighbors. They have a new baby. They want homemade granola. Heck, I'm going to make their day. That will make me feel good and make them feel good. The only problem comes is if we don't trust each other with our no's. And we think that the very ask itself is offensive. And I think that I know that I have some of that in my old stories. That it is rude to ask something that might be a heavy ask. And I think the movement into consent culture is that eroding of that false expectation, that dangerous and damaging expectation of you can only ask for things that are reasonable. Because who's to say? Perhaps this is the very day that I do want to experiment with fellatio. So if the request is done respectfully, who knows? It certainly, in the right context, would not be offensive. So one of the reasons why I've been thinking about this a lot is because as I've been digging into this with myself and people I've been working with the Pink Path, is that one of the reasons why it gets so easy to fall into a people-pleasing mode is because of a lack of conviction in your own truth. And when you aren't totally sure what you want or who you are and what you stand for, it's difficult to take a stand, to speak your truth, because if that's what they want, you know, if it's going to irk them, maybe I don't need it. And so there's this lack of conviction that makes it seem so much easier to just go with the flow rather than speak our truth. And so what I've been working with people on and with myself is that building that connection to heart, to truth, to analyzing where the beliefs come from, figuring out what in this relationship to your actions and your thoughts is based on something that's not you, and how much is your core and who you are. And when you get to that point of like, this is who I am, then when someone says, hey, we're going to sushi, so dude, I'm a vegan. You can go, but I'm not eating fish. And because it's like, boom. Maybe vegan is a bad example because people have baggage about it, but maybe it's, I want to make pottery. It's like, I've been dreaming about it. And the person generally, if they care about you, is going to be like, awesome. I love you. I want you happy. If this is, if you have conviction about this, let me be a part of adding this to your life. And if there, if that reaction is not that case, if there's conflict, then hopefully by respectfully sharing these things and saying, this is my truth, this is what I want, not, you never let me play with clay. You know, that's different. That's a whole nother topic of how to communicate these things. But when we can speak our truths within a loving, respecting relationship or a respectful friendship, respectful professional relationship, the respect grows and we can trust each other's yeses and nos, and we can trust each other's asks and trust that we are partners in helping each other, not we're responsible for other people's happiness at the expense of our own. So stop being a martyr. People please to the degree that it makes you joyful and is not a compromise to you and your heart, and work on finding that conviction so that when the forks in the road come, when the decisions have to be made, when it's time to voice your truth, you can have your feet planted and be like, I want this. With conviction, I say, I want this, this connection, this communication, this place to share my truth and know that it can be received from a place of love. I'm so grateful and so honored. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Thank you for being you. I love you. Pinkpath.net, if this is like going, ooh, that's me, or ooh, that's my partner, come to pinkpath.net and let's see if one of the open spots is for you to go deep and to build that conviction. Because without that conviction, you're not playing the role that you're supposed to play. In that place of strength, the conflict you create is not conflict, it's correction. There's so many things out of alignment in the world. If you go with the flow without anchoring first, it's not necessarily making things better. It's avoiding your role in the healing and the correcting of things. So taking your stand, and I'm not talking about taking a stand like standing in front of a tank, but it could be that. It's taking a stand and like, I'm not sure if I like this color for these walls. Or I don't want to visit you for 2 weeks. I love you, but that's going to drive me crazy. I want to come visit for 5 days. And I know in the short term that might hurt your feelings to hear that, but that's my truth. And after the initial will be this, oh, cool. We now have this place where we can speak that, and there won't be a week and 2 days living together at my parents' place of resentment and this secret martyrdom that festers. And whereas the other person the whole time thinks, how would I know that this is not what you wanted? Is this making sense? It's hard. Because, gosh, it's so nice when everyone's happy all the time. And what's a little lifelong sacrifice and swallowing of your truth if it means everyone around you is smiling, right? It is a lie, and you're robbing people of their ability to connect with your truth. And you're robbing the universe of the role that you play by releasing and allowing your truth to be a part of this cosmic tapestry. It's the most simple thing in the world and the most difficult thing in the world. And it's the only reason we're here. Pinkpath.net. If this is like going, ooh, that's me, or ooh, that's my partner, come to pinkpath.net and let's see if one of the open spots is for you to go deep and to build that conviction. Because without that conviction, you're not playing the role that you're supposed to play.